Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the main topic. You're here again with the antagonist, with my lovely co-host, Justice Lane. What's up, Justice?
Hello, good evening, everyone.
Where are you at in the country tonight, Justice?
I'm still on the East Coast. I'm still in Florida today, this week.
Okay, hey, sometimes you're like Carmen San Diego. I never know.
Well, let everybody know you're in Arizona.
Oh, yes. Okay. Sunny Arizona. You know, it's been a little bit crazy. It's been a little bit cooler than usual here. It's been like 32 early in the morning. And so it's comparable to that East Coast weather, just nice and cool and breezy. And you got to love it.
Yes. The weather has been really crazy. Speaking of the weather, that we're going to discuss that later on in the show. That's today's main topic for everybody that's tuned in. Make sure you join our discussion at 646-200-3230. You can also join us on Twitter at The Main Topic Show. Make sure you use the hashtag and we'll retweet and join the topic. So, the antagonist, what do you have for us tonight?
You know, I got a lot of good stuff for you guys. You know, we're a variety show. We're going to talk about the government shutdown. It's crazy when the government shut down, but my taxes didn't shut down. So, but don't get me started. Don't get me started on that. You know, it's a little bit too early to, get people's hairs riled up. And so we're also going to touch a little bit on celebrity news. The Grammys are coming up this weekend. So we're going to talk about some of the nominees there. And then also just from my sports writing experience, something that I'm very passionate about, we're going to be talking about college sports and if the players should get paid. And so there's a nice little spirited debate that's going around about that. And so we're going to touch on that.
Nice. Well, everybody tuned in. I hope you guys enjoy the discussions. Again, make sure you check out our main website at ifm-radio.com. Again, follow on Twitter at The Main Topic Show. Well, I guess let's get right into the first discussion of this evening, the government shutdown, just like you said. Based on, what our research, it's not good. So what does it mean to you? or how do you feel about it?
Well, the way I feel about it, the biggest thing, I mean, there's a few things that I can touch on with this, but the biggest thing that really upset me about it are the government employees, like our troops, for instance. There's reports that, government shuts down, they don't get paid. However, the individuals that are in the room negotiating everything and, locking horns, they're still getting paid. So it's just a little bit disheartening when you got an 18-year-old kid leaving his family to defend our country and our freedom. And essentially, he's not getting paid for his work. He's working for free. He's putting his life on the line and, working for our country for free because of just, this government shutdown. And so I saw some reports on CNN today that was alluding to Trump signing a bill to end shutdown. And so that came out about 17 hours ago. And so did you hear anything about that? It's supposed to be capping off this three-day deadlock that's reinstating funds until.
Yeah, I read briefly about it. If I'm correct, they reopened today, which ended the three-day shutdown. Trump did sign a short-term spending bill that will fund the government. It says through February 8th, ending a week-long government shutdown. The measure also extends the Children's Health Insurance Program and suspends three Obamacare-related taxes and fees. So there was a little good and bad in there, it sounds like, in that bill. But the government definitely did reopen today, which ended the three-day shutdown.
Well, and that's a good thing. You know, it reopens, but, you know, I think as just a citizen, I'm not 100%. I wouldn't say I'm 100% sold because, I mean, really, it just gives us until February 8th. And so I'm really hoping that we have some sort of assurance that this thing will be resolved moving forward. And, you know, we don't revisit the same scenario February 8th. And so, you know, it's good to see that, you know, that was put through just to open up the government. But I, like you said, you know, it's good and bad. You know, there's some things that were taken off the table in order to alleviate that government shutdown.
Yes. Yes. Well, that is so crazy. They're not releasing much information on it. Again, you know, there's various sites that I've researched on. And it really just says that, you know, that was basically the stipulations. They had to take away from some areas to reopen in order to reopen for today. So we'll have to definitely keep watching it so we could see what happens later on. And like you said, you know, there's no insurance through now to February 8th.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy. It's like, hey, you know what? We'll pay our troops, but we're going to inconvenience the people by taking this off the table. You know, it's like, you know, what kind of negotiation tactic is that? But, you know, let's get into a little bit lighthearted news. Talk about some of the celebrity news that we're seeing out here. So I hear that Mr. Young Solo Carrot Top himself, Ed Sheeran, has gotten engaged. Have you heard about that news?
Yes. He's 26. He announced Saturday morning that him and his long-term girlfriend, Sherry Seaborn, are engaged. So everybody was excited about that. It was trending all over the media. So, you know, definitely congratulations to him.
You know, I'm wondering, you know, where she's from. Because, I mean, Ed Sheeran, I believe he's Canadian, correct?
I think, no.
or from England, or?
I was, you almost got me there. I was like, wait.
All right. I know he's from, I think, or across the pond. I got to, if you guys know where Ed Sheeran is from, you know, give me a call at 646-232-30. Australian. Okay, there we go. Australian. You know, so cool. And, you know, all I know is, like, I'm not sure what, you know, the kangaroos and what the koalas, everybody in Australia be doing, but that boy got some soul. I'm wondering where he got that from over there. I mean, that guy, I tell you what, man, some of that soulful music that he came out with, when he came out with that song, Loving Arms, not too long ago, I was just like, what? I mean, I'm over there, you know. It had like this old Tennessee bluesy. Oh, yeah. I was excited about that. I was like, man, I don't know who this boy is or what they're doing in Australia, but I may need to go there. Maybe get some good baby back ribs.
Let me correct myself real quick before we wrap it up. The England, he's from England. Okay. So
he is from England. Okay. Hey, you know, there's a lot of good artists that come out of there, you know, out of England, the United Kingdom, and that area, you know. And I tell you what, hey, that soul that he has, I'm not sure what they're doing under the pond. If there's some sort of underground blues scene, you know, I mean, this kid got skills. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure, I mean, he's a superstar. So everybody, or most people, I would imagine, have heard of Ed Sheeran, but you know what, if you haven't, check him out. That is some good music, and he is crooning to a lovely lady now. Congratulations, Ed. Do your thing, you know, and I'm sure she is in love with the shape of you, homie.
That's
<Yes. laughs> you know.
There's a lot going on in the music world. We have, like, you know, like you said, we have everything going on. It's Grammys weekend, so that's going to be crazy.
What
are you watch the Grammys?
Excited
you watch
to see?
The Grammys?
Oh, I haven't watched the Grammys in a while. I'm going to be honest with you, but I tell you what, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Record of the year, you know, Redbone by Childish Gambino.
Yes.
When I first heard that song, I was watching the movie Get Out, and I'm bobbing my head like, who is this with this old Al Green, you know, throwback Sam Cooke sound? You know?
I love this music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really digging that record. Despacito, everybody has heard that, you know, and there's a lot of spoofs on that song, but you know what? That was a huge summer anthem. Especially over here on the West Coast. Story of OJ by Jay-Z is also in the running. Humble by Kendrick Lamar. There's a line I love in that song. You know, show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. I was like, what? You know,
yes.
So.
Kendrick Lamar definitely went in on Damn. The album was amazing.
Oh yeah, and finally for that for a record of the year, 24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars. You know what? I was dancing off beat in my living room to that song. Every time it comes on, even the kids, you know, they go crazy. You can't help but dance. You know, Bruno Mars has this like throwback. It's kind of like a mix between Stevie Wonder and Morris Day. But he dances like Michael Jackson. I'm really digging his style.
Yes.
And he's a great performer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is a great performer. I love the recent project that he just released with Cardi B. Did you get to check it out?
Only thing I've heard from Cardi B was that Bodak Yellow.
Okay.
You know, when she was like, don't get comfortable, or, you know, whatever that song was. You know, I'm speaking for a lot of brothers out there. I mean, she got some bars. I'm a little bit old school though. I'm a little bit, you know, Lady of Rage and the Brat, and you know, I'm a little old school hip hop head. But there's some of the, you know, she can hold her own. You know, she's aight, as we say, she's aight.
Okay. Speaking of old school music, I seen a picture that Eminem posted on his Instagram. He's in the studio with Dr. Dre. So I wonder what he'll be getting ready to release.
Oh yeah, Fire. And you know what? Every time they get together, it's magic. It's just a creative masterpiece. Everybody remembers Forgot About Dre. You know that song off of that Chronic 2001 album. I tell you what, Eminem was setting tones, and that was early in his career when he was just coming out. So. It's, yeah, Eminem, big fan of that. And so main topic that we're speaking about today is global warming. And so this topic, it really sets a lot of emotions for a lot of people. I remember when it was first a big thing, when Al Gore had brought it out almost, oh, man, what's it been, about 10 years or so since it came out. It was, it was just about 10 years ago when Al Gore really, really, really started pushing global warming. I believe he came out with a documentary on it. And, you know, there's some people that deny it exists, but there are some things, I believe, that are in the climate that are undeniable. Like, we can't overlook them. And it's really hard, I think, to find an explanation for some of the things that we're seeing shifting in our climate that are outside of global warming. And so what, you know, I remember earlier in the year, you know, you were in California often, and then they had those wildfires. And so I've seen some reports that are saying that global warming and the inconsistencies within the climate are causing things like this happen, like these weather tragedies. And so what's your take on that? You know, you kind of saw it up close.
Well, when it comes to California, yes. We didn't have no rain all year. Probably, I want to say a month before the fires, it did drizzle a little bit. But that's as much as you ever saw, and that was in the morning. So the dry weather, and there's no water. You know, there was water restrictions. I stay in Los Angeles. So all of L.A. and the surrounding areas over there, they had water restrictions. So, you know, it is, again, it's been very dry. You know, that's the best way to describe it. And as far as the fires, yes, you know, it burned, the reports are saying probably anywhere north of 80-something thousand acres burnt up before they had, before they got the fires 100% controlled. So, you know, it's been a very crazy, very crazy year when it comes to the weather, and it's been very hot. Matter of fact, the UN Climate Change, they tweeted the 2017 was the hottest year on record. Without an El Nino influence, the trend is clear, and so are the steps to counter the trend through low-carbon technology to build resilience to the inevitable impacts of climate change. So at the end of the day, people recognize it, that it's real, and I feel that it's real. But, you know, especially that I get to be on both coasts and travel a lot and see it for myself. You know, I see a lot of stuff that the news doesn't report.
And one thing, I mean, I can definitely attest to being in Arizona, typically in the summertime, it's very, very hot here. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to hit about 116 or so in the summer, and it's a dry heat. So if you've ever opened up an oven and that hot air hits you, that's pretty much walking around outside in Arizona in the summertime. But here's the thing, like the climate here in Arizona, the change is the summers are lasting a lot longer. I remember growing up, it would cool off shortly after football season started. So the last few weeks of September, it would start getting cooler. Well, now, I mean, Arizona can hit 100 degrees into mid-October, you know. And right now we're more in the cool season of what we would consider winter. But the winters are shorter. The summers are longer. One of the biggest things that attribute to global warming is going to be a global warming if we don't get this taken care of, let me tell you that. But to global warming is the rise of the sea level. It's accelerating right now. Yes. The number of large wildfires, they're growing. Dangerous heat waves are becoming more common. It's just, you know, it's something where we have to address it. We have to have awareness. That information I just gave you was courtesy of Union of Concerned Scientists, Science for a Healthy Planet and a Safer World. And so, you know, there's organizations out here like the one, like the Union of Concerned Scientists that have this information. And I think it's really important for everybody listening to utilize these resources and look these things up. What I like about this source the most as far as global warming is you can find it in their name. You know, they're the Union of Concerned Scientists. These are not people, ladies and gentlemen, who are just, you know, noticing changes in the weather and they're just assuming that it's, you know, being attributed from global warming. These are people who are actually trained, who are professor level from all types of fields of science. And so these people have substantive feedback that can be backed by statistical facts and data. And it's really interesting. And, you know, it's really something that will make you really think about the energy you use and just how you live your everyday life. And so global warming is something that is very huge. And so here's a question I think a lot of people would have when it comes to global warming. What's next? What do we do about it? I know in my life, I'm a big truck guy. I'm a big fan of trucks, you know. I love big trucks. But I'm starting to lean more towards diesel trucks that use diesel fuel. It's a little bit better for the environment. It burns cleaner. And also, you know, they're more efficient engines. And so I'm looking at it from an emissions standpoint. And then, you know, also, hey, if you've ever been in a Ford F-250 Super Duty or driven a Dodge Ram with a Cummins engine, you know, you know what I'm talking about. There's no experience like it. There's a lot of power in those machines. And so you see a lot of these huge manufacturers within the automotive industries and just other industries that are turning to these alternative fuels so they can still provide the product and the quality and the experience that the consumer expects from them, but at the same time helping supplement the environment. And so, you know, from what you've seen happen, what do you think are maybe some of the next steps as far as global warming? I mean, what can people do about it?
You know, really just, you know, conserving energy, you know, depending on the growth of technology. A big thing out in, you know, in California, they're very aware of global warming and they believe in it very much so. A lot of the people, you know, the way they commute, they use public transportation a lot or they use carpooling a lot. Even people have went out and bought bicycles. So, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days out of the week, that's how they will get to work versus driving their vehicle. So there's little things that we can do, and then there's big things that we could do, I guess, you know, to help stop it, you know. Because at the end of the day, you know, there are people that are saying it's not true, but speaking personally for myself, I believe that it's true. Like you said, a lot of people, you know, scientists are leaning towards it being true as well, you know, giving it a scientific fact backup. So.
And so let us know, everybody, what you think. The phone lines are open, 646-200-3230. Just get a hold of us. Let us know what you think. Also on Twitter, at The Main Topic Show. Let us know what you think about global warming. We definitely want to hear your feedback on this topic. You know, one thing I remember is at work every week we would fill out those little carpool surveys, and you know, we would kind of just look at them, not really take them seriously, and oh, they're for the environment. You know, we used to make fun of people. I was one of the guilty ones. I had a lot of tree hugger jokes and stuff like that. But I remember I had one friend that was really big into the environment, and his name was Danny, you know, and I'm not sure if he wants his business out there, so we won't mention his last name.
Okay.
Danny could be anybody, you know. So
anyway, any,
you know,
Danny.
Any Danny. There's a billion of them, you know, and they're rising like the sea level. No, I'm just joking. But I remember he told me, hey, you know what? You laugh now, you joke about it now, but unfortunately, people won't take this seriously until it's too late. And you know, I used to always just kind of roll my eyes and yada, yada, yada. But now as I've gotten older and I've seen these changes in the environment that we can't deny, that we can't overlook, that we experience all the time, I'm like, you know, I'm awake to the fact now, you know, and you just kind of hope that, you know what, it's not too late, you know, and you know, you just try to do everything you can to kind of conserve, you know, conserve energy and everything. You know, it's very, 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 very important, everybody. No matter how we feel, no matter where our political stance, no matter how we feel about things, one thing we all have in common and we will always have in common, we have to share this rock called Earth, and we only get one. We only get one, you know.
I hope people it doesn't come that.
Right. You know, it's, you know, no matter what differences we all may have, race, creed, religion, what have you, we all use the same oceans and seas and trees and environment, guys. And, you know, we really need to set our differences aside, and we need to look at this and take a proactive stance and not be reactive, because if things get much worse, you know, things get much worse just from my viewpoint. You know, we don't want it to get we don't want to be reactive to the point to where it's a little bit too late or unnecessary damage is done when it could have been avoided.
That's very true. And, you know, and like I always say, you know, why I'm going to bring it up is voting. People say, oh, I don't vote because there was nobody really I wanted to vote for, but there's still other things you can vote for, say, for example. So, you know, that being said, there's other things, little things that we can do to help, you know, the earth and global warming and what's going on and what's happening versus waiting for one of our government officials, whether it's the mayor, the you know, or the president and so forth, to write a bill to acknowledge it or that it's real or it's not real. So at the end of the day, like you said, you know, seeing these patterns over all these years, I can, you know, back that up as well. It's something that I've been paying attention to for a while. And then, you know, like you said, it's something that just kicks in that you start to realize eventually. So there's a lot of little things. You know, you could plant a plant. It could be something so simple. Saving water. You know, those are a lot of things, you know, multiple cities can do, you know. Just because you don't have a water warning doesn't mean that you have to use extra, you know, extra water.
Right, right. You know, and I'm going to tell that to my daughter, you know, as confirmation that a 20-minute shower not only does it kill dad's water bill, but it is not necessary. It's like, girl, you killing fish.
Everybody's going to try to save on the water and tell the kids, well, you can't take a long shower and long bath. Yeah, it might work.
Hey, but, you know, I really want to touch on a point that you just made, and I think it is imperative, everybody, that we remember this. Voting is crucially important. And I can tell you this, I'm not, you know, waving the finger of blame, because I'll be completely honest and transparent with you. I'm guilty of it myself. There are times where I haven't voted because, just like Justice shared, I wasn't in support of either candidate. However, there are other bills and other propositions and other things out there that are incorporated in the voting process that need our attention. And so don't let a presidential candidate, somebody in office or anything like that, discourage you from going to the ballots, because your voice needs to be heard. And it helps so much in pushing the initiative of success and moving forward and some of these things that we want to see come to a reality and manifest within this country. We really need to have our voices heard. When you get to the part of the poll where you have to pick a candidate, if you don't like them both, I don't know, put a circle in the middle, you know, put a smiley face, whatever you need to do. But you know, but you know what? You have to. There's so many important things that are affected by voting. You know, not only things that
your local judge, you know, policing, sheriff. There's so many other important aspects of it.
Absolutely. You know, there's everything from education to legal matters to our environment. Yeah. Everything. You know, so it's very important for us to be informed, because it can definitely wave in a bad direction if we don't allow our voices to be heard. And so let us know what you think about global warming. We're looking forward to hearing your calls tonight, 646-230-2230, or on Twitter at The Main Topic Show. Hit us up. Let us know real time. Questions, comments, protests. Let us know. Hey, but I'm going to let you know now. Calm down with them protests. You know, listen, we don't get crazy. We're all adults here. It's a family show.
Yes, you can be seen and be heard peacefully, you know, on The Main Topic Show. So make sure you always, you know, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook as well. So if you have a Facebook and you don't have a Twitter, still follow us, and this way you can stay up to date on all the topics that we're discussing. If you're just tuning in, again, you can hear the show later on. It'll be available on iTunes and TuneIn via IFM Radio, so make sure you subscribe. So you missed a lot of the discussions if you're just tuning in, but you could still join us. Again, 646-230-2230. We already discussed government shutdown, celeb news, Grammys, and global warming, which was our main topic for tonight. We're going to get into the next discussion, But before we do, again, make sure you go on Twitter, the main topic show. Make sure you use the hashtag. We put a vote out for tonight in regards to the show, asking Twitter world, do you believe in global warming, yes or no? At the end of the show, we'll make sure to give details on the end of that voting poll. So, antagonists, we're going to get into your favorite discussion right now, Super Bowl, college, all that good stuff. You know, it's Super Bowl season, so everybody's all hyped up. My team didn't make it, but I'm still excited. So give the world your sports.
Oh, I tell you what, this is Christmas. for sports writers, sports journalists, there's something magical about the Super Bowl. This is where all those games that you had, all that trash talk in preseason, regular season, none of that matters now. You win or you go home. And so right now, Tom Brady, one of the things that he mentioned last year when he was questioned if he wanted to retire after winning his fifth Super Bowl, he's chasing Michael Jordan. He wants six. You know, and let me break this down of how crazy that is, okay? So basketball, one player can make a huge impact on the team on both sides of the ball. I mean, there's typically 15 guys on the roster, 12 of which are active, you know, and one person can just, you know, tilt the scales in either way. But in basketball, people play offense and defense. In the NFL, I look at it as the ultimate team sport. Because no matter how great you are at your position, you are reliant on the help and on the support of your supporting cast and of your teammates, of your defense, of your special teams. You could throw for 15 touchdowns. Well, you would probably win in the NFL, honestly. But if you threw a more realistic number, you could throw for 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. But if your defense gives up 4 touchdowns, you could lose. If your defense does well and the other team does well and your kicker's on the field and he misses a field goal at the end of the game, you could lose. So let me just – I think a lot of people have Patriot fatigue. They have Tom Brady fatigue, and they just – they want to see a little bit more parity – in the NFL. They want to see different teams come out of the AFC. But there has to be a time, I think, where we sit back and we really appreciate greatness and really appreciate history. I'm not a Patriots fan, but just like I wasn't a Chicago Bulls fan growing up, I really learned to appreciate what I was watching with Michael Jordan. And, you know, I think you can kind of say the same thing when it comes to the NBA. There's a lot of people who are, you know, LeBron haters. But at some point, you just have to appreciate greatness. So Patriots against the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles are a bit of a Cinderella story. They look like world beaters all throughout the regular season. They lost Nick Foles towards the Carson Wentz towards the tail end of the season. And everybody wrote him off. There's no way Nick Foles, this kid out of the University of Arizona who caught lightning in a bottle in 2013, would ever get back to the prowess he was at. He's a has-been. He's washed up. Eagles aren't going to make it. And Nick Foles, right now, his quarterback rating in the playoffs is historically great. It's historically great. And numbers don't lie. So the Eagles, I believe they have more of a dog in this fight than people want to say. I don't think they're going to quite get over the hump and get past the Patriots because there's something magical about Tom Brady when the game's on the line. But if any team has a great chance of beating New England, you have to look at these Philadelphia Eagles. They get great penetration to the quarterback, rushing 4 guys. They don't have to blitz much, and they get in those passing lanes. And statistically, Tom Brady doesn't do well against teams that are just rushing 4. and getting in his passing lanes. It's when you blitz, it's when he picks you apart. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the New England Patriots can accomplish against the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, their coach, Bill Belichick, going after history. This guy, as much as people make fun of him for not having any expression on his face, even during critical times of the game, he kind of let loose this past weekend if you watched the game. You know, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, even Flores, the linebackers coach, all could be gone at the end of the year. Patricia actually is looked to be in the Detroit Lions' next head coach, and he's been a great defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. And then you have Josh McDaniels, who looks like he's going to Indianapolis to coach the Colts. And so this very well could be the end of an era for the New England Patriots. And so if you hate the Patriots, if you love the Patriots, no matter who you're pulling for in the Super Bowl, if you're a fan of football, I would just say, you know, take a minute, set those feelings aside, and just enjoy. Just enjoy history. You know, we could be watching something that, I mean, in the last 15 years, the Patriots have been to 8 Super Bowls. I mean, that's crazy. That's just ridiculous. You know, when they kick it off on, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, it will be officially 8 Super Bowls. I mean, that's maddening. That is a ridiculous feat in the NFL that prides itself on parity for Tom Brady to accomplish that. And so who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with New England.
Hey, it's a safe pick. Hey, it's a safe pick, you know. Hey, with the game on the line, you know, in basketball, you would choose Jordan or Kobe. With the game on the line, choose Brady. You know, I think it's going to be more competitive than people really think it's going to be, but I think New England's going to pull it out. It's definitely going to be a good game, highly competitive. One of the biggest stories in the NFL over the past few weeks, the Raiders could be in trouble. Trouble. So
why? What did they do?
So recently they just hired John Gruden, who's their former coach, longtime analyst with ESPN. You guys have seen John Gruden on quarterback camp. And then also just breaking down the draft, all the quarterbacks on Monday Night Football, one of the most popular coaches in the game. So he was rumored to want to go back to coaching. Rumors started circling around that pinned him to the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. About a week after the regular season, John Gruden signs a historically big contract with the Raiders. 10 years, $100 million to become their next head coach or to return to the organization, which is all good. Hey, Raiders got a great coach. However, they may have violated the Rooney Rule. Now, the Rooney Rule was put in place, I want to say mid-2000s or so, mid-2000s. I have to look up and get you the exact date, but about the mid-2000s. So it's been in place about 10 years. And what this Rooney Rule was put in place to do was to guarantee or require teams to interview at least one minority that has applied for a head coaching job. Now, from what we're seeing, and there is no reports on ESPN or any of the other more reliable sources out there, that Raiders even conducted interviews with any coach. And so it seems like they just went ahead and they hired John Gruden. So they're just, NFL's conducting an investigation at the moment to see if they violated the Rooney Rule. Now, this could have huge ramifications if they, in fact, did violate this Rooney Rule. So punishment could be a hefty fine, as well as probably 4 foot of draft picks, you know, or John Gruden could be possibly stripped of that, you know, title of head coach because they did violate that rule. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when all of this unfolds and to see what that means for the Raiders. Raider Nation's very excited about John Gruden. I think he's a great coach, very knowledgeable. He does great with quarterbacks. I'm excited to see what he can do with Derek Carr in Oakland. But I really think that the Raiders got ahead of themselves. You know, it's I mean, it sounds sad to say, but if you know, you know, if you know Gruden is your guy, you got to go through the process. Even if you're checking boxes, go through the process. You know, I remember when I first came out, I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And, yeah, so,
well, Gruden,
you know, they could have.
Who was he coaching for before? Was it Tampa?
So, John Gruden, yes, he was coaching for Tampa previously. He was with the Oakland Raiders in 2001 with that infamous tuck rule against the Patriots. Then he ended up being fired from the Raiders, being hired by Tampa Bay, and then the following year defeating the Raiders in the Super Bowl while he was coaching Tampa Bay. And so there was a lot of bad blood there, a lot of, just a lot of unresolved issues. And so I believe that basically this move was more of burying the hatchet, if you will. But at the same time, you have to follow the process. You know, that's something that may have got them in some pretty big hot water. And so let us know what you think. I mean, one, who are you going through for in the Super Bowl? Do you appreciate greatness? Do you appreciate Tom Brady? Do you hate him? Let us know what you think. Also, Rooney Rule. Should there still be a Rooney Rule? I mean, there's a lot of minority head coaches. What do you think about it? Just chime in. Let us know what you think. 646-232-30 at the Main Topic Show. Let us know what you think about this. A lot of things have changed since the Rooney Rule was put in place. Is it something that's still needed? Let us know what you think. What do you think about the Rooney Rule?
Me?
Oh, yes, you.
Is it over? I don't think much of it. I have to do more research on it. But from what you told me, you got to play the, you know, game according to the rules. You got to play according to the rules.
Well, I do know something that you are passionate about. Our
What's
next
that?
Topic. So you are a woman of education, and you definitely understand and appreciate the importance of a good education. What do you feel about college football players not getting paid when, in fact, they bring millions of dollars in concession and merchandise sales, not including TV ratings, contracts, you name it, into these universities? What do you feel about that?
Oh, I have a lot of feelings about that. But, you know, I feel that they should get compensated. And this was a discussion that I had many times with college students that played professional, like basketball, and, you know, that they've seen their merchandise sold, you know, according to the NCAA, the revenue that they make is mostly comes from media rights, they claim, but it's still in the billions of dollars. We're talking $10.8 billion to be exact. So, you know, there's no reason why a college student that whether they play basketball or football should be struggling to pay for books or, you know, I know their books are paid, you know, it comes according, but they struggle to buy food or pay their car payments and so forth. You know, one thing that was brought up that, you know, I won't discuss too deeply, but, you know, a lot of these athletes feel the need to do other things. Or go, here's a good point, go back to the original lives or do what they have to do and risk getting in trouble or, you know, worst case scenario, taking money or however the case goes, you know, there should be some kind of compensation out of that. You know,
well,
wouldn't
you
agree?
I agree with you. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, there's been reports of different athletes. There was one that was out briefly about LeBron James in the summer of 2003, right when he was drafted, that spoke about him taking an escalator or the Hummer or some sort of SUV of high school. There was one about Derrick Rose going to the University of Memphis and, you know, the compensation his family was getting in choosing the University of Memphis. And so everybody, it's very easy, okay? So I'm challenging you guys to open up your mind, have a little perspective, hear me out with this, okay?
Yes.
So
if
you look at it like this, you were raised in a house in a perverse neighborhood. Your mother is probably working 2, sometimes 3 jobs to provide for you and multiple siblings. The education system where you're growing up isn't the best, and so academically it is hard for you to carry your weight once you go to one of these prestigious universities. You become good at athletics. You get a scholarship to play at a university. You have scouts looking at you. You are now tempted with entering the NBA, being a professional, getting that check, leaving college early, not getting that education. Or you are tempted with staying, continuing the education, because either A, you're not ready to go to the NBA, or B, you're not projected to be drafted high in the NBA. So at the same time, you're looking at your family struggling. You have a booster. You have somebody there that says, hey, I can make this go away. The rules frown upon me writing a check, but I can hire your cousin at my company who has no experience, no education, to be an operations manager, and I can pay him to supplement your income. But if you do this, I need you to play and enroll at this university.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
How do they expect them to live off that salary that they give them, or one lump sum of, you know, according to their contract, you know, with the colleges?
Exactly. So here's a lump sum to a kid that comes from a background, to be quite frank, isn't exactly the pillar of money management, because you have to have money to manage it.
Yes.
And so if you're coming from that frame of reference where you're not really educated on things like credit management, money management, doing things like that, and you're given this lump sum and you're hungry and you're starving and you're on the road and your meal plan, you go to the University of Kentucky. Well, you're playing against the Florida Gators in Florida. Well, the meal plan isn't there because you're on their campus. You can't afford a hamburger. But you're pumping millions of dollars into these programs, and it's something that – now, don't get me wrong, everybody – I'm not saying that these kids should make 6 figures. And a lot of people out there will say, well, they're getting paid because we're paying for their education. Okay.
I heard that.
Right,
that,
you know.
Which is
right,
crazy.
I've heard, Right. It's absolutely crazy. And then we look at E60 and things like that on ESPN, where we see all these professional athletes that get this money and then they're broke 3 years later and out of the league because they never got the critical tools or education that they needed to sustain that success. So now this guy who was a superhero who made it out of the neighborhood is living right back in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And
they're
the
giving them celebrity lifestyles. Yeah, they're giving not a lifestyle, but a celebrity image. And then asking them to work at Starbucks for $9 an hour so they can pay, you know, their car payment, you know, if they wanted the luxury of having a brand new car, which I'm sure, you know, the NCAA doesn't. But, you know, give money towards that. But I did look up that the NCAA schools have the option to pay stipends to athletes in other sports, but fewer in the Big East, they're stating. Where basketball is king in general, schools will pay out, you know, allowances to basketball and football players, and only a select few Big East schools have teams on the gridiron. So how do you feel about that? So they're saying that they do give them allowances, but it's just not enough, right?
I think there should be some uniformity. There should be consistency. I think when you exclude or give less in stipends to certain areas or certain schools for whatever reason, I think you open the door for wiggle room in negotiation, which I don't think has too much room in college sports. I'll give you an example. So University of Oklahoma, the top prospect out of there is quarterback Baker Mayfield. If you've ever seen this kid play, he can straight up ball out. He's projected to be a first-round pick in the draft, you know, comparable to Russell Wilson in size, Drew Brees in heart. Anyways, so if we leave room for negotiation and Baker Mayfield is bringing so much interest on the national level because everybody wants to see this prospect and everybody wants to tune in, and these media deals are now really, really, really being supplemented by it. Do you give him a different incentive than you would the backup kicker on the team that hardly sees any playing time, but he has a scholarship too? Or is there uniformity with what you do with every student on the team? And so I think that's kind of where it gets hairy, because if you go to college with Vince Carter back in the day when he was with University of North Carolina, and you're the backup point guard who, you know, you don't even really suit up for the game. If anything, if there's 30 seconds left and your team's up by 20 points, you'll be put in at that time. If players were getting paid and supplemented then, would Vince Carter, because of his talent level and because of his, contribution to the team winning, is he entitled for more? And I think that's where it gets a little bit hairy when you talk compensation and you talk college athletes, because I think it should be uniform, because they're not employees. Because if you're employees, you can talk about experience level, workload, whether you're a revenue generating department or if you're not, there's different things that are attributed into pay and compensation. But I think when you go with students, it needs to be a flat rate, no matter how great you are or how bad you are. If you are a scholarship athlete, this is what you get. And I think it shouldn't matter what conference you're in. I think it shouldn't matter what sport you play. I think it should be uniform across the board. Now, there's going to be some people, and I own this, that are going to have some pushback with that last statement, because in Arizona State University, this year, basketball has been a huge contributor. But typically, when it comes to revenue that's drawn in, it's football and it's the ASU baseball team. that makes a lot of the money, especially Sun Devil football. And so if I'm on the college level Arizona State bowling team, should I be getting the same amount of, you know, increase in pay that a football player makes when the athletic department can look and pull the metrics and see that football is bringing in 80% of the revenue? So why does the soccer player or the bowler who also has a scholarship get the same amount of compensation as the other players? And so that's where I think it gets hairy, and that's primarily why I think it should just be a uniform flat rate that all students get, make it national, where it makes sense. Or, you know, even if you want to, because, you know, even if you want it to be based on state, that's fine, you know, because universities are owned by the state, you know, so that's fine, you know, because it could then be in uniform with a cost of living where it's reasonable. But one thing I think it gets really hairy when we talk compensation and kids, because when we use that word compensation, it can get an ugly word, especially if people expect to be compensated as employees.
Yeah, and they don't want it to look as, like, you know, because a lot of these kids, they dedicate, 6 days a week to this, you know, because it not only includes them actually doing the actual sport, but they have to make sure they maintain good grades and keep focused on, you know, other things. There's so many aspects that make up a good athlete. So this is something that they have to consider at the end of the day, because it pours into the pros as well. Because you see pro athletes in the NFL, and particularly in the NFL, they get their money, and then, you know, they're not allowed to take other money in other ways, of course, and they have to live a certain lifestyle, so they go back to a certain lifestyle sometimes, and they get in trouble for it. This is a lot of stuff that we don't see in the news, or, you know, it's one article out of every blue moon, but it is something that is reality for, you know, the sports world. So they definitely have to figure out that compensation, and it definitely starts in college.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so definitely, everybody, let us know what you think. 646-200-3230. Let us know what you think about it. I mean, are you for it? Are you against it? Are you indifferent? Let us know. You still have a few more minutes to give us a call. Let your voice be heard. What's new for you, Justice? What are some things that you have going on this week? Some things that you're looking forward to?
Oh, well, we have a lot going on with the, you know, with the network and so forth. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl. That's the only thing, speaking of staying focused, that's the only thing I've been able to focus on. I love football. I'm a big football fan. So I look forward to that, and the Grammys as well. So I love music. Music and football is two of my favorites. So that's what I'll be doing.
You can't go wrong with that. Music, football, you know. And I'm interested in seeing a lot of these coaching searches in the NFL and these guys getting hired, these new up-and-coming coaches. I cover Arizona sports, you know. I did for a short while for the AZ Weekly here. And recently the Arizona Cardinals hired defensive coordinator Steve Wilks out of Carolina, and there's a lot of Cardinal fans, you know, that are like, who is this guy, horrible hire, this, that, and the other. But so let me give you, I won't dive too much into it because I know we're counting down here, but I'll give you a fun fact, everybody. So there is a job for a team that is now successful that was open about, I want to say, 17 years ago. The coach that they hired was an assistant under Bill Parcells, did very well at that job as a defensive coordinator and as a linebackers coach. He finally got his first opportunity coaching the Cleveland Browns. didn't do too well for a few years and got fired. This team hired this coach, and now they're making history. The team is the New England Patriots, and the coach is Bill Belichick. So I'm going to, you know, I just want to leave on this as far as that topic. When it comes to coaches, when it comes to opportunities, guys, never judge a book by its cover. You never know. Sometimes coaches aren't successful because of the situation that they're placed in. And let's go to the corporate world. Sometimes we may have an employee that is not successful because of maybe the department or the role we have them in. So before we write people off, let's have a conversation with them. Let's see what makes them tick, and maybe we can match them to the right opportunity where they'll be legendary.
True.
That sounded like a Maury Povich final. No, that sounded like a Jerry Springer final thought, didn't it? Oh, that sounded like a final thought.
It did. I don't know how we're gonna. I don't know how we're gonna. We can't top that. I don't know.
Get him with a little Anchorman. You stay classy, San Diego.
Yeah. Right. Well, I guess we will wrap it up, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Everybody, again, you can still call in. You can still give your opinion. Leave it on there. Leave it on the voicemail. If it's after the show, again, you can listen via iTunes and tune in on IFM Radio through IFM Network. Again, if you're just tuning in, I'm so sorry, but you missed the show. Make sure you tune in each and every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, make sure you check out our main website, ifm-radio.com, and follow us on Twitter. You can join the discussions as well. We have weekly polls that we are holding. So if you missed last week's show, you can, again, listen to that via iTunes and tune in. You can go on the Twitter page at Main Topic Show, and you can join last week's discussion as well. For this week's discussion, same thing. Make sure you be seen, be heard. Make sure you check out that poll and share it, tweet it, or vote, and make sure you call in. Again, each and every Tuesday, make sure you join us. This is the Main Topic Show. I'm your host, Justice Lane, and our wonderful host over in Arizona, the antagonist, will be giving you celebrity news, sports, entertainment, lifestyle, important topics from global warming. We could talk about global warming or football. So make sure you subscribe today and join us each and every week.
Thank you so much, everybody, for Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a great week. Watch some sports, NBA All-Stars games coming up. Watch the Grammys. And then also let's look into some of the topics that we had today, everybody. And so let us, hear your voice. You guys have a great week. Thank you for stopping by, and we'll see you guys later.
Yes. Everybody have a good evening.